All right, we begin chapter 2 this morning. And chapter 2 of Peter's second letter is where he focuses the most time and attention on the message that he wants to get out, a message of avoiding and discerning false teachers. If you remember back to chapter 5 of 1 Peter, as we began that, you know, I made this statement as we were talking about sheep, that sheep are not stupid or dumb animals. And I said that rather they were trusting. Another word I probably should have used to describe sheep is they're not very discerning. So as they trust the sheep that is trained to lead them to slaughter, you'd think they'd kind of look around and see the circumstances that they were in and kind of wonder. And this is a problem not just with us today, though it is, but it's a problem almost from the beginning. And that problem issue is Satan, the great adversary, trying to distract us and lead us down roads that we shouldn't go. And that's where Peter's going to throw his emphasis. Let's go ahead and pick up in verse 19 of chapter 1, get our context made, and we'll read through chapter 2, verse 3. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. But know this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. And many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned. And in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle, and their destruction is not asleep. Let's pray. Father, as we've just read these words of warning from Peter, Father, may you help us through your own Holy Spirit to understand and work out our paths and our lives according to your word. Help us, Lord, to be able to avoid false doctrines, to avoid things that distract us and take us away from what's most important. Help us, Lord, to be the best children of yours that we can be, the best ambassadors of yours that we can be, and the best slaves of yours that we can be. Father, I pray that you would, Lord, this morning especially, remove me, remove my opinions, remove my ideas out of what's going to be said. And Father, may you speak to us as you would have us. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. So, as he finished out chapter 1 talking about true prophets, true prophecies, the word of God, these men wrote being moved by the Holy Spirit. and spoken from God. He changes focus with just one word. But. So, it's almost as if everything was just fine and dandy. But. He says, but false prophets also rose among you. Or among the people. Just as there will be also false teachers among you who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. Now, understand, this wasn't anything new to the first century church. We had Ryan this morning read out of Deuteronomy, talking about false prophets in the Old Testament, talking about their fate. As God said, these need to be put to death. So, interpreting and preaching and proclaiming God's word is very, very, very important to him. Okay? So important that, again, in the Old Testament, you could be killed for misinterpreting or leading people astray. We live in a world today that is being led astray every which way. And we're going to talk a little bit about that as we get into verses 2 and verse 3. But, you know, John 8:44, talking of Satan, who is over and above this. He is the one that is orchestrating anything that's false. John 8:44, Jesus talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and he is the father of lies. So that is who is trying to orchestrate religion in the world today. The father of lies. And he sends his false teachers and his false apostles out. 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. No wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. So, as the word but transitions from godly prophets to false prophets, we see Peter trying to warn the people. I'm not one, or at least I'm not anymore, I don't think I ever was real strong in this, but I don't always like to point people out. You know, I don't like to say, oh, this person, he's wrong. But sometimes, in the position that God has placed me, we have to. And guys, there are some doctrines floating around out there today that are very dangerous. I have quite a few friends within the Pentecostal, charismatic niche of Christianity. Good, solid, and I would stand up for them and say, saved people. But there's also people within that movement that are leading people astray. There's a doctrine within some of their churches, and it's called the little God doctrine, saying that we, as Christian believers, are little gods. God has made us little gods because we're created in his image, aren't we? And then he saves us, and then we are, at that point, able to stand toe-to-toe
with God and tell Him what we want. You know, that's where we get the people who, you know, lack of better terms, I don't like this terminology, but the name it and claim it people. Because they feel they are on par with God, so they can go to God in such a way that God has to answer them the way that they think they should. Problem with that is we're not little gods. And the problem with that is most of the time we don't even know what we need. But God does. So he'll keep us in that. So as these false prophets are arising, now, understand, this is some 30 years, give or take, from Christ's resurrection and from his ascension. And things are already starting to go awry. And we were kind of talking about this somewhat in Sunday school today. You know, why did they go wrong back in this first century church? Why were people coming out with thoughts of their own and trying to lead people into a different direction? A lot of it is just human nature. Man wanting to rise above and be made something that he's not. But most of it and all of it centers around Satan trying to throw a wrench in things. Now, I've made the statement before. I'll make it, you know, put it on my tombstone, please. You know, Satan is not out to destroy the church. He just wants to make us ineffective. And he is doing such a good job at that today. Peter says there's going to be false teachers among you. They'll secretly introduce destructive heresies. Years ago, when I think it was right after Acts, I did the book of Jude. And we were talking about apostates in the church. You know, an apostate is somebody that begins in the church and then takes a left-hand turn somewhere and eventually leaves and is out to destroy the church. Well, apostates don't start this far away from the truth. Apostasy starts and begins here. And very, very slowly, very, very secretly begins its destructive path. We need to be on guard. And we need to be on guard by knowing the truth. I think Ryan said, if I remember correctly, a couple weeks ago when he preached, we need to know the truth so well that when we see a counterfeit, it stands out right away. You work at a bank now, don't you? Are you a teller? Sometimes, maybe. Did they train you how to distinguish false currency from real currency? So you learn what's real in order to distinguish what's not. That's what we need in the church, to know what's real so we can distinguish that which is false. And these false teachers are going to arise. They're going to secretly introduce destructive heresies, even those that deny Christ. I can't get over, and this goes all the way back to our walk through the Gospel of John. I can't get over the scribes and the Pharisees of Jesus' day. These men that should have known who Christ was. They were taught who the Messiah was going to be, but they missed it. I got a long passage here from Luke.
chapter 11, verses 39 to 52. It says, "But the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees, you clean the outside of the cup of the platter, but inside of you, you are full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is written as charity, or give that which is within as charity, then all things are clean for you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you pay tithe of mint and rue and every kind of garden herb, and yet disregard justice and the love of God. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the chief seats in the synagogues and the respectful greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, for you are like concealed tombs, and the people who walk over them are unaware of it.' And one of the lawyers said to him in reply, 'Teacher, when you say this, you insult us.'" They were listening. "But he said, 'Woe to you lawyers as well, for you weigh men down with burdens hard to bear, while you yourselves will not even touch the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for you build the tombs of the prophet, and it was your fathers who killed them. So you are witnesses and approve the deeds of your fathers, because it was they who killed them, and you build their tombs. For this reason also, the wisdom of God said, I will send to them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, and some will they persecute. So the blood of all prophets shed since the foundation of the world may be charged against this generation, from the blood of Abel to the blood of Zechariah, who was killed between the altar and the house of God. Yes, I tell you, it will be charged against this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You yourselves did not enter, and you hindered those who were entering. The scribes and Pharisees of Jesus' day were false teachers and false prophets. John the Baptist, he landed on scene as the last of the Old Testament prophets, preaching a message of repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That is the same message that the scribes and Pharisees should have been proclaiming to the people. But they did not. They were teaching destructive heresies, denying the Master, denying God who bought them, and bringing the swift destruction upon themselves. If we are not following God in the way that He wants us to follow Him, the way that His Word teaches us to follow Him, then we are just heaping destruction upon ourselves. Now, talked about how my thinking doesn't always, I was prepared to say something such as, people who are in churches today who are not 100% acclimated to God as their Father and Christ as their Savior and Lord, they might as well not even be in church, because it does them no good. I had to rethink that just a little bit. Just because if the Word of God is preached and they are not acclimated to the things of God, how will they know unless someone teaches them? So that is why we will never turn away anybody from a seat in this building, so that hopefully God will speak through the message that's been prepared, and they might come to know Him the way that I know Him, and hopefully the way you know them. Now, Jesus predicted in the last days that the church would endure a variety of false teachers. In Matthew 24, 4 and 5, He said, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in My name saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many." We say to ourselves, "I'm not that stupid. I would never follow a false gospel." How many people died 30 years ago or so on the compound of David Koresh, who claimed he was in some form God, and willingly, you know, this where we get the phrase today, drinking the Kool-Aid. They drank the Kool-Aid and died. Because he had destructive heresies that they bought into. There's many different people around today. Going back to the 80s. Sung Young Moon. Remember that name? You younger people have no clue. He was a Korean false teacher. He was worldwide in his influence. You would go to the airport to get on a plane, and his followers would be out front selling flowers. And most people didn't understand, you know, they weren't real evangelical in what they were doing, but they were collecting money for the cause. And people had no idea what they were giving their money for. But these people, many of them young, just went with it. Now, also remember when we were going through the Gospel of John, I made the statement that to the world, Christianity and its message is utter lunacy. It's crazy. I mean, we believe with all our hearts that there was a man that lived that didn't have an earthly father. His mother just got pregnant. We believe that this man lived a life of approximately 33 years. Never did one thing wrong. I mean, there's days I breathe wrong. Jesus never did one thing wrong. He was with out sin. We believe that he had all kinds of miracles. Raising people from the dead, growing limbs, healing internal problems. We believe he fed over 20,000 people with a first century Lunchable. 5 pieces of bread. And 2 fish. We believe he was put to death. Well, that's not so hard to believe. Everybody dies. But we believe that 3 days after his death, he rose again on his own accord. And we believe that he now resides in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. For us.
I believe that with everything that's within me. I believe that just as much as I believe that my wife is sitting there in the fourth row. But there's a world of people out there that think I'm nuts. We need to know what we believe so we're not led off into anything that's false. Because again, Satan is trying to distract us. And if I'm distracted going over here, believing I'm a little God or any such nonsense, then I'm not busy doing what God wants me to be doing, which is proclaiming the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:4, he said, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." We have churches today that don't preach the full word. Sometimes I don't know how well I do. I mean, is my preaching, does it compose reproving, rebuking, exhorting? Do I throw those three elements into you? I saw a video this week of a pastor and another pastor going at it. And her message was, God is a God of just love. Nothing else, just love. So we can accept anything the world throws to us out of love. Timothy, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Paul continues, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine." We're there. "But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths." So many things that God hates that the church, big church, is accepting of. God wants us as His children to be holy as He is holy. Jude 4. "For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." They've crept in unnoticed. That's why we will always try to not, the Bible tells, Paul told us not to lay hands on leaders quickly. And we will try and fulfill that as a church body, making sure that we're not putting people into leadership who can be destructive. People who have crept in unnoticed. Peter says, "Many will follow their sensuality, and because of them, the way of the truth will be maligned." Me and my friend Don, who
who I was at his church a few weeks ago. We're always sending each other articles that we're finding of fallen pastors in the church today. Men who have to either step down or are being forced out because of sin of sensuality that's in their lives. Men who are happily, supposedly happily married, but that's not enough for them. Men who receive power and then try to take this power into places that it's not supposed to be. I bet you in the last 2 months, 10 or more, that we've bounced back and forth off each other. And we say, why? Why would they? Matthew 7, 13 through 17. Jesus speaking says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from the bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, and the bad trees bear bad fruits. In a sense, I'm glad I don't have one of those great personalities that people want to follow. I'm a bah humbug guy. And I pray that the reason that you're here today is not to hear from me, but to hear from God. But there's many people that follow men. There's a huge church down in Columbus that the pastor's daughter got up in front of the congregation and just ripped them up one side and down the other for their lack of giving. I mean, this place is a fortress. It's huge. And her father, the pastor, was, you could hear him off in the on the sidelines yelling things like, yeah, preach it. What's the phrase? Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Peter says, in their greed, they will exploit you with false words. Their judgment from long ago is not idle. Their destruction is not asleep. Remember, there's many words in the Bible that I say, oh, these are the most important. Ephesians chapter 2, but God, great words. Some of the scariest and loneliest words, Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. We're going to go into a time of the Lord's Supper here in a minute. It's a very solemn time. It's a very important time in the life of a believer. As we remember what Christ did for us.
I don't ever. And I hope none of you ever want your faith to turn into a way of fulfilling your greed. Sometimes I have problems with even books that are written. I don't want to be rich. I mean, I think some of you think I am, but I don't want to be. I do like having enough stuff to be able to help people. I hate having to turn people down because we don't have it. But I don't want to be a part of the Grace Bible Fellowship Goodwill LLC. In their greed, they will exploit you. They will give you false words. Their judgment from long ago is, and then this is the promise from God for these people. Their judgment from long ago is not idle. Even though they seem like they're not going to be punished, their judgment is coming. Their destruction is not asleep. Why are we here this morning? And I want you to be honest with yourself. I don't want hands. I don't want eyes that go like this. Keep your facial features to yourselves. But how many people in this room, is Sunday morning the only time that you really ever contemplate God? Is Sunday morning the only time that your Bibles are open? Is it the only time your Bible app comes alive? Our faith is to be our life. Jesus told us to take up our cross and follow Him. I'll admit, my cross sometimes that I carry is about as big as the little crucifix that you might be wearing on your around your neck. Should not be. That might not even be big enough. Is Christ part of us? Father, I pray that you would help us to be discerning in the things that we listen to. Father, to use your word as our roadmap. Lord, when somebody tells us, oh, you need to go here and do this, may we make sure it aligns with your word. Lord, I lack a lot. I truly do. My prayer for myself and my prayer for the people here this morning and my prayer for those who may be listening is that, Lord, you would transform us by your power and by your might to be the men and women of God
that we were meant to be. Lord, I know I can point out things in my life and I can say, oh, I do good here and I do good there. And everybody here can find things in their lives that they do good here and they do good there. But Father, may our goal, may what we be working for, to be doing what you'd have us to do all the time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son who paid the price so that we might have a relationship with you. Thank you for your Spirit who opens our heart, our mind, and our eyes to the truth. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to go into the Lord's Supper.